Hello, Marlbay, and welcome to the June 21st, 2012 edition of the Public Works Advisory Board. As we get going, please notice that we have four members present with one member not in, in attendance. Ron Burkhart was hurt today, injured at home, so Ron, we're sending out our good thoughts and to you. As we get started, could we have a moment of silence? Okay. So with that said, we have some we have a couple of announcements. First, Councilmember Noah Smuckler is not going to be here today. He is at the economic development meeting in San Luis Obispo. So he contacted me and said he couldn't be here. Next, we have a couple. I have a couple pieces of correspondence. I don't know if anybody else does. We have one from Andrea Luker, who sent this to PWAB, going to Mr. DeCarli from SLOCOG. She was just going back over the city's motivation in terms of pushing Morro Bay Transit and wanted to get her thoughts out there. It's a good letter. Also, we have an email, and Rob, this is, you might know about this, from Mr. Jerry Carr, North Morro Bay. He is a homeowner on Hemlock and Greenwood. He had a situation where he was assessed twice for a surveying, a double charge for a building permit process. I think it was a before and after survey on his property. I don't know if you recall that, Rob.
Yeah, I believe the project was conditioned to provide a as-built survey at time of framing and then at completion.
And so his concern was a
project that is on their maintenance list of things to do. They just sent out a recent press release, and I think I have the technology to...
I remember getting it from you. I thought it was a May press release, was it?
There was one that just came out either early this morning or last evening. So let me just
see. Well, anyways, you're looking for I know a number of people, not just on the beach track and in North Morro Bay, were just concerned with how Caltrans is kind of was, it seems, sprung upon Morro Bay. And I understand the maintenance aspect of it, but it really really opened up that part of the city. I mean, maintenance sure needs to be done, but it was just sprung and it gave the city a very unsightly entry from the north. And so I know there's a lot of people who are concerned about it in Morro Bay. Did you get it, Rob?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of control over Caltrans's right-of-way and their work within the right-of-way, but I'll just, it's a pretty brief press release. A project to replant screening type trees along Highway 1 in North Morro Bay will begin Monday, June 25th. This replanting effort follows removal of several diseased trees, Myoporum, on Highway 1 between Yerba Buena and San Jacinto Streets due to a small insect, thrips, which removes the moisture from these trees. The area will be replanted with Catalina cherry. I thought it was ironwood, but a Catalina cherry, and he gives a Latin name for it, Prunus lianoi, and Ceanothus, wild lilac, at specific intervals along the fence near Highway 1. The initial phase will include irrigation work, the grinding of stumps. Irrigation trenching is expected to begin within the next week, depending on availability of equipment. Crews have removed litter and debris adjacent to nearby homes. The location of the plants and the drilling to install them is scheduled to begin the week of July 16th, with planting of new trees will immediately follow. These new trees are expected to grow from 15 to 25 feet. Caltrans and the California Conservation Corps will continue sprucing up the area in the coming weeks. The contractor for this $60,000 project is Madrone Landscapes of Atascadero, who will complete the replanting by the end of summer. Of course, Caltrans reminds motorists to move over and slow down when driving through Caltrans work zones. For information, you can call Caltrans Public Affairs at 805-549-3318. And that came from Jim Shivers or Colin Jones as a contact there. And they gave an alternate number of 549-3189 also.
You were asked by the City Council to write to Caltrans about it. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, I guess I was wondering, is the concern pretty much the same as what Matt brought up?
Yes. There's a lack of information out there. I think, you know, people were surprised by the level of work, the amount of vegetation that was removed all at once. You know, no notification happened, or if it did, it happened a year ago, and people have forgotten that they were going to do this work. Just the unknown, and you know.
So it's the notification side of it, necessarily the new planting or whatever.
Yeah, we have no permitting authority over Caltrans.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
But I think one of the issues was Caltrans is. Kind of pledge somewhat to being a little bit more open to
right.
public input, especially as, I mean, from Morro Bay standpoint as residents, that's the entryway to the town, and we have to be, I think, careful of how it looks.
It's very noticeable.
Well, now it is. Totally. And likewise, it would be nice, and I know there's a number of residents who are expressing interest in being helping with either choosing the plants or you know, even if need be, helping upkeep, although that's Caltrans Public right away. Okay, so that's another correspondence I have. Did anybody else have any correspondence from anybody? All right, so we're going to go from that to public comment. And please, as you approach the microphone, tell us your name and then let us know what you're thinking about.
All right, is that good? Okay. Hello, my name is Jennifer Ford, and I would like to hear in Morro Bay, and that's exactly what we've discovered. The air quality in Kern County is not as lovely, and so, you know, we may not have been outdoors as much as we would have liked to have been. So moving here, being outdoors is an important part of our family. With that being said, after a few weeks after moving here, we discovered the ability to walk in our neighborhood safely was a bit of a challenge. You know, I've always told my children, please walk on the sidewalk, and if you can't walk on the sidewalk, make sure you're always looking up, scanning, looking for traffic, watching for cars approaching. With that being taught to my children, after living here for a few weeks, we discovered, okay, well, actually, you need to look down more often than look up because there's so many potholes and loose gravel and uneven ground that it's actually not very safe to not look down at all times. You need to not just look up, but to be scanning all over the place. Personally, in front of our house, we have a really large pothole it's about 5 feet long, and it's about 3 inches deep. Just that alone, just walking off of our curb, you're in a pothole. My daughter, we had lived here for a few days, and she had just taken off her training wheels, and she was learning how to ride her bike, and we live in a cul-de-sac, and I thought, perfect, we live in a cul-de-sac. My daughter can ride her bike safely without traffic zooming through, and she can ride her bike. Well, she got on her bike, she rode halfway down the street, hit a pothole because she was looking up, like we'd always told her, look up, look up. She hit the pothole, flew off head first, landed on her back, knocked the air out of her. She was all scratched up, traumatized, and I'll be completely honest with you, it was last month that she finally got back on her bike and started riding again. And like I had said before, moving to Morro Bay, our inspiration was, we're out in this great air quality. I want my kids to be out riding their bikes. I want them to be walking the neighborhood with their friends and walking the dog and, you know, walking as a family after dinner, take a cruise through the neighborhood. So that's my personal experience with the road conditions just in my neighborhood alone. Recently, without going into too much detail, I've actually talked to over 100 different households, talked to the residents that live there in all different parts of the residential areas in Morro Bay. I have asked them, what are your concerns about Morro Bay? And two of their top concerns are the wastewater management, the issues that are going on with that. And then the other top concern was our roads. Almost every single house that I went to, they said, we are angry about our road conditions. We do understand that it's important for the, you know, the main roads, and especially in the tourism areas, those roads are kept, you know, really nice. But the residents are feeling a little left out, like we're not included in this reconstruction, in this pavement management plan. Now, in careful review of the plan, I did notice that we have this thing called the PCI, you know, the rate. Our residential streets are much worse than the streets downtown. I understand that it is more expensive, and it is a major project that's going to have to take place, especially in the beach tract and areas where the older streets are. And so what I'm here tonight asking is that there is a reconsideration, a review of this plan that was constructed almost exactly a year ago also. It was actually constructed 3 days after we moved here. So what I'm asking is that we look at this plan and that we, or that you guys look at this plan, I'm sorry, and that I don't know how it's going to be possible. I know that we are on a tight budget, but I feel like the residents need to feel like they've had a voice, that they're feeling like their taxes are being represented. And if it means that maybe we do just a few streets at a time because of the extreme expense, that would even, if the residents see that something's happening north of Morro Bay or in the residential streets that are, you know, higher up towards the top of the mountain, maybe they would be a little bit more energetic and feel like they've been represented, as opposed to always seeing the same streets being resurfaced over and over again to keep them maintained. So I guess, and one more thing, being that we do live in North Morro Bay, I just want to reiterate the fact that North Morro Bay, as I'm driving through the streets, especially like Panorama, you know, streets like that, that look like they've been through a war, to your attention amongst other boards, and to just please give it some consideration. So thank you so much for listening, and have a good evening.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Go
ahead. Sure. One thing I'd like to ask, I agree with you, potholes are dangerous. Mm-hmm. They really are, not only for bike riders, walkers, but also cars. However, there is a method in place of getting the potholes repaired separate of this pavement management plan. Mm-hmm. It has been taken over, if I'm not mistaken, by Parks and Rec, that you have the opportunity to call in and mm-hmm. have them physically fix the holes. That doesn't take care of the entire road mm-hmm. in the sense of, you know, new paving. Mm-hmm. But I think there is a mechanism in place, mm-hmm. at least for like your daughter riding her bike, mm-hmm. if some of you and your neighbors would be calling. Mm-hmm. And I think it's on the website, if I'm not mistaken, Rob, how they can get a hold of Parks and Rec in order to fill it.
May I?
Oh, sure.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. We actually did call. After she flipped over the bike, we actually did call, and we were directed to the Parks and Rec.
Oh, okay.
They were actually out the next morning. I was very impressed. They were actually out the next morning. We gave them our address, and all the potholes were patched on all the neighboring streets except for ours. But that's okay. I mean, you know, maybe it was just an overlook. But, you know, we've made some calls, and the issue that I'm afraid of is that, I mean, and this is not something that I know that any of you are not aware of, but patching over and over and over again is not fixing the problem. I mean, it's a temporary fix, but my husband is actually legally handicapped. He can walk short distances, but he, you know, doesn't have full mobility of his ankle, but he likes to walk up and down our block because that's about as much exercise as he can get standing and walking. And the other night we were walking our dog, and we were walking down the street, and a couple of the potholes that have been patched, they're raised up a good half inch to an inch above, you know, the surface of the street. And his, you know, his foot actually caught that because, you know, he's looking up, you know, he wasn't looking down, and he caught it and stumbled. And I'm not, you know, that's of course not going to be everyone's experience because he does have that handicap. But the fact is, I mean, anybody can stumble, but it's so uneven. You know, it's this up and down motion. I mean, if you go on to Panorama, I mean, you can see where there's been patchwork, but it's just so, it's really dangerous, even with the patchwork. And I think that we have to look at the big picture. And yes, there is some great, you know, quick, easy fixes. But the big picture is that this is a problem that's not going away. And I know because of the PCI, it's low on the agenda. It's low, you know, it's going to cost so much money to fix these roads that are the worst in our city. So what is it that we have to do to get to the point where we address the worst problems and not just the ones that are okay, but the ones that really need the attention and that could really show that the residents on the streets that we use the most. You know, I've heard that we represent at least 60% of the tax revenue in the city. I don't know how accurate that is, but I myself use my street more than any other street in the city. And I know that every other resident uses their street more than any other street in the city, whether it's walking, whether it's driving to and from wherever they're going. But that street is important to them. And if it's not being repaired, they're not feeling represented. And so that's what I'm trying to do here, is to represent my own self, but also the residents that I've spoken with and those that I haven't spoken with that probably share the same feelings.
All right. Well, thanks, Jennifer.
Okay,
very insightful.
Thank you.
Commentary. Do we have another public comment? No? Okay, so that's it. And thank you very much for coming, ladies. It's always nice to have public comments at PWEB. All right, so moving on, we're going to go to our consent calendar. And the first thing, I mean, we can move to accept all of it, although I have a couple things in the director's report I would like to talk about. So maybe we can stop on the consent calendar and talk about, well, first let's go to the approval of minutes.
Okay, I move that we approve the minutes of May 23rd.
And we have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, thank you. And moving on to the director's report. Stephen, do you have, would you start down on
actually,
your end?
Actually, this week I don't.
Okay. Nothing from Stephen on the director's report. You want me to come back? Bill, did you have anything to talk about on the director's report? If you want a minute, it'll come back to you.
I guess we're okay.
All right. Richard?
You ready?
Or,
yes.
All right, go ahead.
Where are we in the process of the appeal?
I know that is their primary objective, is the wastewater treatment plant.
And those meetings are the second Thursday of each month. Rob, you know where we are in terms of meeting. Are we up there or down here this next one?
Next month we're down, back down here.
Okay, so this next...
So July will be in Morro Bay.
Okay, so July. Not to jump into your spiel there, Richard. I was just trying to make sure everybody out there knew when the next meeting was.
I would like to ask a question based on what Richard did bring up. And, Rob, it's pure ignorance on my part, but when you do have the Coastal Commission, the appeals going on, everything else, does that somehow give you a stay from the Regional Water Quality Control Board as far as your order for running the plant? Do they cut you slack, so to speak?
Yes, we have a consent decree with the regional board on a timeline to complete our upgrade, and we're in a force majeure action. So it's outside of our control that the project has been delayed.
Oh.
So the we provide monthly updates to the Regional Water Quality Control Board on our progress, And
because it felt like you were getting pulled in two directions by two different government agencies.
Two different state agencies. So, you know, we'd almost prefer it if they decided and then get back to us once they...
Just tell us what you want. Yeah. Yeah.
Richard, did you have any more?
No.
Okay. Rob, I don't know if you can answer this one. This is on the first page of the director's report. This is a Janine's item, but just kind of an FYI, or maybe not necessarily an FYI, how often do we count the fare box receipts on, do you know, on Marbay Transit and the trolley?
Well, as they, every day they bring their receipts into City Hall for accounting purposes. They don't hold the cash on the trolleys. Themselves.
No, I guess the reason I ask, I'm looking, thinking about RTA.
Oh, for about that we have to have for calculating fare box.
Yes,
that, so that's on an annual basis.
It'd be annual. Okay, so that was quick. Next, going to the second page, 2 of 3, talking about the water. I guess I've never in the last couple of years seen the total monthly water production for any one month, and I was absolutely floored when Morro Bay, it says we went through 33.5 million gallons of water in a month. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of water. And that we get 32.1 million from the State Water Project. So here's the, and so for me not being a math genius, that is an incredible large percentage coming from state water. So my question is this, knowing that our brackish water and saltwater trains are going to be coming online, will we ever put a dent in that percentage and want to come down to a 50-50 sort of thing or a 75-25?
Well, I don't think we would want to as long as we're paying for state water. We'll be paying for state water whether we use it or not because there's debt service to be paid for 25 years. So it's to our benefit to maximize our water use of state water to get the most cost benefit out of that. It'd be horrible if we paid for that state water and didn't take any of it.
Does that mean, let's think hypothetically, I guess, just for the sake of argument, could we, without state water, with that salt water treatment and brackish water, supply the water that Morro Bay needs?
We'd have severe water restrictions, so we would use the brackish water trains, the salt water trains. We would use our supplement with untreated well water besides chlorination, blend that water in our King's tank. You know, that's how we operated before there was state water.
Sure. No, and I appreciate just speaking hypothetically. I was just floored by the amount of water. Bill,
and,
do you have a comment?
Actually, we're probably one of the most conserving cities
actually,
in California.
Actually, those are the numbers, Matt, yes, for the town is so.
Well, you know, Matt, if you divide that out, 30 million gallons would be 100 gallons a day for 10,000 people.
And the problem here is there's more than 10,000 people when you have the weekends and everybody coming in during certain
right.
months of the year. So this is actually one of the lowest places I've seen on water
mm-hmm.
usage.
Okay, well, bring me back to earth, and I guess
yeah,
me
it's
not
just a, being... It's just a big number when you see it for the first time,
it,
I think.
It is, and me not being in...
But he did bring up something I wanted to ask real quick. On the brackish water reverse osmosis plant, how much can you actually generate...
Winter, late fall, when there's less outdoor water use?
Okay, thank you.
And my one remaining... item, actually two. Could you give us an update on the Main Street right there by Limos and the pavement upkeep right there? It's not quite stated in the director's report, Rob.
Oh.
I'm just talking about street rehabilitation and knowing that that road, the contractor did not get to that beforehand, and so there was some sort of, there's some other street maintenance that we're going to be able to do here in town. Could you explain that?
Okay. That pavement repair that we did was a patch that we put on the pavement. That we did with the city's own forces It was a kind of a bigger job for our own forces. We had to borrow crews from water, wastewater, and parks to get that job done. It was about, we placed about 11 tons of asphalt over that. Just did a big skim patch over that area. And that was because the contractor did not perform per the contract and get that work done prior to Memorial Day. We're in the process of negotiating a change order with that contractor. Basically, we have liquidated damages in our contract. If they don't perform per the contract, we can charge LDs or liquidated damages at $1,900 a day based on the size of the contract and what the Caltrans general contract allows us to do. So in lieu of charging those liquidated damages, the contractor has proposed additional work at no charge to the city. And we're going to do a pilot project in North Morro Bay.
I'm sorry to interrupt. So they're going to finish the job that they didn't, or do the job they didn't do?
Do the job they didn't do, but after Labor Day.
Got it.
Because we have a resolution from 2003 discouraging work on commercial streets during the time between Memorial Day and Labor Day. We wrote that into our contract with the contractor. So since they weren't able to perform, they would be subject to liquidated damages. In lieu of liquidated damages, council gave us authorization to negotiate a change order with them to look at doing additional work. The street that we're proposing to do is Tide Avenue from, where's the beginning of Tide Avenue?
Be Yerba Buena.
Yerba Buena
to Island.
Island is the stretch that we're going to do. We're proposing to use a method of resurfacing that typically wouldn't be used on a street that's in that poor shape. But the city of Lompoc has had good success with this triple layer cape, what's called a triple layer cape seal, where they put down three layers of seal. You have to come in and do some road patching first, of course, and then you do this triple layer cape seal. Lompoc is, I believe, has done it for about 4 years and has seen an equivalent to doing a inch to inch and a half overlay and additional life to their streets for one quarter of that cost. So we're hoping that we see this success, and I think that might help some of the North Morro Bay streets. Is we're going to try it, and if it goes down well, look at doing it on additional North Morro Bay streets also.
So then when we talk about the pavement management index, as Jennifer brought up, maybe somewhere down the road at a future meeting then we can talk about amending that and working that into the yearly schedule that we, or the 5-10 year plan.
Yeah, schedules. This technique was not considered because it's fairly an innovative technique. We frankly didn't really realize it was being done. This triple layer, it's called triple layer cape seal.
Do you know the roads in Lompoc that they did it on? Since I'm down there during the school year, I would go look.
I can get you that list. I don't know them.
Because I know Tide Street is not a very heavily traveled street, and if it's the equivalent of an inch, inch and a half overlay, I mean, that could be fairly significant in that area of North Morro Bay.
Yeah, the reason we picked Tide is it is used by more than just a local street. It does serve as a bit of a collector street in that area. So it serves more than just, you know, one small street. We'd get a little bit more traffic on it to see how it's going to hold up there. So we're hoping to do that soon. We're still having issues with getting our contractor here.
Who is the contractor, by the way?
ISS is the general contractor, International Surfacing Systems, I believe, out of Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
They have a paving
management schedule, is that correct? Because you'd have more money to go on.
Exactly.
Using this system. I assume you're still going to follow the priorities laid out in the pavement management.
Well, once we add this as a technique, the computer model of the pavement management plan will give us a little bit different mix of streets.
So it may actually change the priority.
It may actually change the priority.
I would think simply because the roads on the south side of town are newer, and so they're not going to need that. But with this new technique, that would open up what Jennifer was bringing up in terms of the concern of people with these dilapidated streets in terms of putting this higher priority street in town, moving every once in a while one of those up the list. I think we could do that.
Well, the only reason I wasn't here when the pavement management plan was put in originally, but I do follow the logic, and the logic is you take the better streets to try and save. So then, you know, if you start remixing that, and I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing, it's just it starts to break down your logic of what you had, you know, your whole model you set up in the first place. But if there's a model in place that actually does change based on the method you're using of how you're fixing that road, then that appears to be rational. I could follow that.
And if I might, maybe before Jennifer leaves, she can give me the street name and I can check into what's going on out there.
Totally. And also, like, that's a very good point, Stephen, in terms of since the model we had with the PMI was X, but if it's changing now, it would just run its course to change that.
Yeah, I mean, if you put all your eggs in a basket that said this was the way to do it, it seems to me it's very hard, and I'm speaking to you now, to change things, because then we'd have the next person on the next block in next week trying to move theirs up the list. There has to be some logic to follow through.
Well, maybe this is just fortuitous in terms of giving us
it
new
very
logic.
Very well could be.
Okay, and that was all the director's report I had. Bill, did you come up with anything you wanted to bring up or no? Richard? All right, moving along from the director's report, we have no old business to go to, and we're on to new business. And the first item, C1, is review of North Morro Bay Northern Waterfront Implementation Plan to include Morro Rock Parking Lot recommendation. So we want to open that up. Would anybody like to speak to this?
Does Rob want to give us any?
Oh, actually, Rob.
I can give you a brief summary of this the staff report. What we're looking for here is you to take a look at the plan and decide whether maybe not the details of this plan, but this area be included into the North Waterfront Implementation Plan. So there's some background material attached here that was part of the Harbor Advisory Board, gave a long history of the implementation plan. Just want to say that plan was adopted in 2008, and it depicted, you know, different areas for boating, recreation in that plan. The Rock parking lot itself was not identified as part of that plan. What we're looking at here is we had, through the generous efforts of a couple of Morro Bay residents, they prepared a concept plan for the Rock parking lot. The Recreation Parks Commission looked at that in March. Harbor Advisory Board looked at it earlier this month on the 6th of June. Their bodies both recommended that the concept be included in the implementation plan, but perhaps not the details be included. If it's included in the implementation plan, we would go through our typical specific plan process with meetings, flesh out the ideas, and then prepare a detailed specific plan that would come back through the advisory boards. So, as I state in the conclusion here, the implementation plan was adopted by City Council. And what we're looking for here is your input on whether or not the Rock parking lot should be included in that implementation plan and any specific direction you want to give regarding the details of that. That concludes my summary of the staff report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right, you want to open it up? Bill, would you like to comment?
This area is probably one of the most important tourist attractions for Mud. So something should be done about that. And secondly, the way they got it set up now at the edge is I think, a good arrangement. You've got the east-west edge of the water there, which is unique because there are very few places up and down the coastline where one can either park or stand there and watch the waves come in front of them rather than the usual on the beach, the waves are coming toward you. So it's a much more interesting situation for tourists, and it attracts tourists because of that. So right now, we have the edge, and we have about a 15, 20-foot walkway, and then a row of boulders are parked there so that the cars are forced to stop there. Now, and of course, then a group of trash cans. Now, people come down there to see the view. They don't come to look at big boulders. So there's a lot of them are boulders that don't exceed 30 inches in height, and that's fine. But there's quite a few boulders out that are much bigger than that. Now, I've got three photographs that everybody has here that I made. Now, I made these sitting in the driver's seat of my car, and this is what you see.
If we could get the monitor or the projector to
Well, you can't see them very good on the screen there, that's for sure.
Okay.
But anyway, so you got a big boulder in front of you instead of what you really want to look at. Now, if I had my own bulldozer, I would volunteer to get in there and lift those big ones out and replace them with 24 to 30-inch high boulders, which nobody can pass over anyway. So I don't know why in the world we have these large boulders. The trash cans, of course, also obstruct vision, but of course we need the trash cans. But in many occasions when you go down there, you'll find that parking places are all taken but blank spots where the boulders are because people don't want to park there. So let's get those boulders out of there and get the place smoothed out first if we don't do anything else. But and this concept is interesting. I see they've got barbecue area and picnic spots over here, but that's all on the extreme east end, which isn't used much anyway. Of course, I don't know how many people are going to sit down there and have a picnic because there's a lot of wind down there and it's cold. It reminds me when Frank St. Denis moved here and bought his house up on Nutmeg, and the builder hadn't quite finished yet, so he had the builder build a much larger deck out there. Well, as soon as he moved in, he found he couldn't use the deck because it was too doggone cold and windy. So, and that's what it is down there. Now we also have here, we show a new boardwalk. And then we have a fence next to the boardwalk. So I presume it's intended the cars park in back of the fence. Well, the last thing we want is a fence in front of the cars. They don't want to see a fence. They want to see the water. So that fence, there should be no fence there. And I see there's 10 concrete benches. Well, when I go down there, most of those people, a lot of them don't even leave their cars. They sit in the car for a while and watch and go. And I dang right said it. I'd rather sit in my car in a nice soft seat than sit on a concrete bench. But somebody will have to keep those concrete benches clean. There's a couple of benches down there now, and that's only two of them to keep clean. But 10 of them makes a lot of cleaning because those benches look just like these rocks in my pictures. Now, we also have over here some volleyball courts. Now, they take up a lot of space. I don't think many people use them. There's a basketball place down there, a little ways from there, and I very seldom see anybody using that. So this whole concept is interesting, but it's a concept that mostly is used by the things that are here are used by locals, which they could do someplace else. Whereas the area is very interesting area for tourists, and whatever we do down there should be to have the maximum enjoyment for tourists. So
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you. And actually, I want to differ with you on one point. I used this past winter that basketball court a heck of a lot with my fifth, sixth grade girls basketball team. And I thought the same as you. I thought it was never used. Mm-hmm. And I went down there so many times. Their Coast Guard was there. There's other people there. And so I thought the same. But you know what? I'm a believer now. People use that.
Would you use these volleyball courts?
I don't know.
I think they're taking up an abnormal amount of space for what we should be doing something else with that space.
You're very well. I think you have a good
point.
And like
that festival we had down there last week, there was a huge number of cars parked down there, and they covered the whole area.
Cars out there on just that big dirt lot. And with all these decorative posts cutting off the back area, I did read it said you could be used for overflow parking, but I think it's something that needs to be taken a look at. The boardwalk itself, while a nice feature, really goes nowhere. It does, you know, it runs from over here to over here, and that could be served by the asphalt of the parking lot itself if you just have some extra space ahead of the bumper stops of the cars as they go in there. And I'm looking at that more from a cost consideration and a maintenance consideration, which I assume, is Public Works the one who takes care of these boardwalks, Rob, or is that a Parks and Rec item?
That's a Parks and Rec item.
Oh, okay. That would be my only concern there. I think it's a nice plan. I really applaud these people for going through the effort of drawing this up. But, I do weigh costs versus, and the gain, achieved as a result of it. And I thought Bill brought up some salient points I really didn't think about, and that was the fact that more than I think the residents here, it is the tourists that tend to frequent that spot because it is very windy. I think because it is windy, people tend to sit in their cars and look out at the ocean, although I've used that benches on a sunny day, and, they are nice to have a few benches there. I know we have to provide some kind of handicap access, don't we, Rob, down to the beach area if you do put the parking lot in there?
Yeah, we're working on that as a kind of a separate ancillary project, providing some, yeah. Exactly, providing better beach access that would fit in with, this plan or the existing site or, somewhere in between.
Right. And the only other thing I'd comment just on a purely engineering basis is the roundabout that's kind of in there in the center. It might want to be smallened a little bit because it kind of makes for some hard maneuvers there. But this is a real preliminary design. I don't want to get too far into that. But I think it's a nice feature and a focus to put the plaque there and have some planting maybe. Do you have, I assume you do have water down in that area that if they're looking to put in planting that you could irrigate it adequately, is that correct?
Yeah, we have water to the rock restroom, so it could be extended.
So it wouldn't be an issue or problem.
Yes.
I think that's it for me. I think it's a great idea to include it into the north, what do you call it, the northwest, or
north waterfront
plan, I'm sorry. I think it is a good idea, and I think it is an area that does need to be cleaned up. I think having an asphalt parking lot out there would be very nice, and I think it'd really help with the handicap access features that you will need if you start developing that area. You will get caught up in that ADA conundrum, I'll call it, but that you do have to provide for it. So, thank you.
Okay. Richard, would you like to comment?
I was very much impressed with Bill's photos. And the fact that the boulders do cut off our view, I'd never even thought about it. You're looking at a side view of the ocean. I just go down and enjoy it.
But you don't enjoy the boulder.
I go up and sit on them.
Okay, so, all right, and I have some comments. Before we get started, one thing, I think in general, this sort of plan would go very well with the ramp stairs that we had talked about two or three meetings ago that would go down there at the Rock parking lot. But as I go through this plan and reading what Harbor and Parks and Rec had to say, I sort of agree with them. I mean, one of my biggest concerns is funding. Where if we get grants or something, but I mean, this is going to be a significant outlay for the city. Given the Harbor Walk, and it's been a very successful project, the Harbor Walk, as it exists right now, I think a project like this would go along with that very well. And I would just want to be very, and there's a number of various vetting processes before we even get to that point. Besides funding, another point that I would like to, and I think would go along with this plan, being that we have the Harbor Walk, then we'd have the Rock, is some sort of Coleman Park to the Pitt Dirt Road and bridge across Morrow Creek. I think it would be important that we tie the not just having one access point to the Embarcadero for tourists. I mean, we have a number of people that live from 41 North that are second homeowners and the residents of the city that would like to get there. I think in terms of creating a waterfront-friendly town, that bridge across the creek that would go right to the...
Are you seeing that as vehicular kind of a bridge?
Well,
or just pedestrian?
No, it would be pedestrian for people, but we'd have to make it vehicular for the safety vehicles.
Yeah.
But it would be bicycle. It would be pedestrian. But as you look at...
That's been kicked around for 25 years.
Yes, and right now, and in terms of the Morrow Bay Bicycle Committee, that item, that bridge trying to get over Morrow Creek, it has moved up, I do believe, Rob, if you can...
Just waiting for the reauthorization of the Highway Act so that the California Transportation Commission can award their byways grant program. If we're successful with that, we'll have the 100% of the funding that we need for design, environmental, and construction.
Well, what kind of bridge are you envisioning there?
Probably a clear span.
But it'd be vehicular also?
No, it'd be vehicular it'd be rated for emergency vehicles.
Oh, okay.
But it would be intended for bicycle and pedestrian traffic.
So it'd be wide enough to handle a vehicle?
It'd be wide enough to handle an emergency vehicle, yes.
And, I mean, that's always been, I think, gosh, since I was a little kid, the concern is not to open up the Embarcadero for traffic per se.
Oh, okay.
But in just thinking tourism and enjoying Morro Bay and getting to the Rock parking lot, and then enjoying that whole Coleman Beach. In terms of looking at this plan and looking how everything was designed, I think it would go along wonderfully.
Is that going to require a core permit there to, 404?
It'll require a multitude of permits to do that.
It seems to me that that's where you might...
Yes, and our funding is in outlying years, so we're talking 15, 16 before the actual cash would become available.
Oh, okay.
I'm still going to be riding a bicycle then, so I'm hoping for it. So next to that is, because I do believe looking at this plan for this North Waterfront plan, is it's important that we bring the entire city into this and reading it. And then also the parking and the wind. The volleyball courts down there, great idea, but given that wind down there on certain days, that's going to be pretty harsh. I like the ideas of so many of the ideas are great. Although I wonder, and Rob and I were talking before, and we mentioned that there weren't a lot of people who go surfing at the Rock early morning who aren't here right now. And if they, as we start talking about this plan, it's already been approved by Harbor and Rec and everything, I would think we might get more people concerned about how it's going to look, but that's further on down the road. But with that parking and the wind, and I'm concerned about trash. If we paved either a part of that or smoothed it out significantly and got a lot more people down there's going to be a lot more trash being blown around by the wind, and not to mention vehicular runoff going into the bay and or ocean. Being that I use the bay and the ocean quite a bit, and then we have a fishing industry, so... I'd want people to think about how to mitigate those things. So those are my concerns talking about this plan. So with that, do we want to...
I have a few...
Go ahead, Bill.
One thing I intended to bring up, but I failed. On the last page of diagrams, we have it shows Coleman Drive going out there, an extreme left end, proposed turnaround area. With that termination of Coleman Drive on the south edge of the Rock, out close to the breakwater, is the only paved parking in the area. The only paved parking in the area. And every time we have high waves, the state park, I guess, closes the gate. The people can't use the parking area. Well, I think they have the idea that they don't want people to go out and they aren't going to go out to the breakwater to look at the waves. But every time this happens, as everybody noticed, there's a slew of cars parked to the east of the gate. And they're parked, and of course, very often, these conditions occur when it's raining, or when, or right after a rain. That's when we have the storms and whips up the waves. So that area is muddy. And the mud holes just get bigger and bigger and deeper and deeper. But if somebody imagines that they're, by closing the gate, they stop people from going out to the end of the breakwater. But the people park their cars in there and walk out there anyway. So, and now what does that accomplish? I've never seen an occasion or heard of an event where, no matter what the waves are, they had any effect on the cars parked on that parking lot. It's, that parking lot has always been safe. It was safe when the boat turned over out there in, what was that, 1981? So closing the gate and blocking that thing is just ridiculous. And it just, instead of using the only paved parking area there, we wind up parking in the mud and making the mud holes worse. So somebody ought to twist some arms there with the state parks department and get some practicality going here. Thanks.
Okay. With that, before we make any sort of recommendation, do we have anybody who would like to speak to this item?
The 90s in Kobe, in that area, we designed a lot of the houses that helped to rebuild Kobe. But at any rate, and our oldest son was christened at St. Timothy's in 1965, so we're pretty rooted here, although we did move away and we've lived away, and we have an airplane. We fly to our customers wherever they happen to be, have a private airplane. Okay, that's something about us. What our idea here was, in order to make, to create better tourism flow, we thought it would be a good idea to make the rock the parking area, since it's a unique place in California or anywhere on the coast of the United States, is Morro Rock. And it's a big deal. And it was a big deal when I was growing up and used to surf out there. Not anymore, I'm too old. But at any rate, we wanted to make a family-friendly place. We didn't change the bathrooms. We didn't change the existing trails. We just tried to add a few things of interest that would help, you know, make families enjoy it more and attract more families to Morro Bay. You know, to begin with, the park horse. We have a park horse set up out there. We priced that out. It shouldn't cost more than about $7,000 or $8,000. The way we have it laid out is laid out so it can be done in stages. In other words, you know, you can come in and just put in the park horse, and then later on put in the parking lot. And the only other things we added were the a barbecue area for families and a small play area for small kids. To, like I say, keep it very family friendly if possible. Now there's a fence, not really a fence, but a rail there along, and our idea there is the same railing that we have along the harbor walk just after you pass where the harbor building is there. You know, that same rail that you can see through. It doesn't block anything. And our thoughts were a couple of things. One would be to help direct people down to a safer place to enter the beach, because I've been out there and watched kids that tall climb rocks that tall to get back up from the beach, and it kind of bothers me a bit. And the other thing we added was the volleyball courts. We placed them where we thought, I'm not a volleyball player, so we thought we placed them at a point that we thought would be somewhat shielded from the wind by the rock, but there's no place out there that would be completely shielded. It's just going to be windy. And our other idea was for the plantings out there to be native, everything to be native habitat, you know, native to the area, so there wouldn't be a lot of maintenance on that. But like I say, the bottom line was we just wanted to make it a more family-friendly place, get more tourists in here, and hopefully help the economy of this area a bit. We've only been back 10 years, and we've seen a lot of changes occur, you know, because coming over here, visiting her family and what have you, you've seen a lot of changes occur, and we realize that changes are inevitable. But I think we can control growth And changes are inevitable, but the idea is to control those changes, to keep them compatible with the Central Coast area and Morro Bay in specific. We love this place.
Well, any great. Questions? Well, thank you. I'm so glad you came to speak to us, and we appreciate your plan. As you can see, people, and I no doubt when you've gone to Harbor and Rex and Parks, they've had, I'm reading their staff reports, they commented on it also. They enjoyed it. Would anybody like to ask questions?
Well, one thing I wanted to say, I don't know if you were here earlier when I was speaking, but I applaud you guys for going through this and trying to create something that I think is nice. I brought up some issues. I had a concern from purely an engineering standpoint because that's where I come from. I don't get into the landscaping. I don't get into the volleyball courts because I figure Parks and Recs will make the better decision there as to what's needed within the city, and it's probably going to come out of their funding, so I'm sure they also have to come up with a mechanism to pay for it. I would tend to disagree with something you brought up earlier, Matt, and that was the fact of putting pavement out there for your concern of trash and other issues. I felt a little bit like you were saying trash will come because the people will come. If you build it, they will come, and all of a sudden there's trash. But it's actually easier to clean pavement than to clean dirt because we have street sweeping, which is the next item on the agenda, which is parking lot could have that done to it. I don't think you'd see any more runoff from vehicles off the parking than you would off the dirt itself or off the sand itself. And actually nowadays, we have to be very careful when we do our designs that it doesn't reach the ocean, so to speak. And from that standpoint, I beg to differ with you a little bit there. I think it's a good idea to put some parking out there, and I think it's a good idea to pave it. I wasn't sure in your design because there was no dimensions. I assume it was a single driving path down the middle with 90-degree parking on each side.
That's correct.
In looking at it, and I think that's...
You know. Well, our idea was to put... We just wanted to put an idea out there. If someone doesn't like it, that's fine with us. You know, if you just let us know what you want changed, and we'll make those changes. And by the way, we're free. We're doing this with no remuneration at all. So if you want to change something, just let us know. We'll make those changes. And I know it's sometime in the future before you'll get to that point, but we'll be here for the rest of our life too. So
does that mean, if I could interrupt, that looking at your design and then looking back at the 1996 waterfront municipal plan, did you get any ideas from that? Because looking at it, it's... Or did you just think of with the Harbor Walk and what you thought about and just putting it in there? Because I noticed that one we had the possibilities of a boat launch.
We looked at those, but what we try to do is we've been here before the Harbor Walk. What we try to do is focus on the area around the rock in such a way that it wouldn't interfere or be a conflict to anything else that's on. In the planning for the boat repair area and that sort of thing. That's why we limited everything to just the base around the bottom of the rock. And we try to design around the Harbor Walk as it, you know, when it passes past the restroom over to the beach, we try to design around that. So none of that would be disturbed. Like I say, we try to work within just the area where there's nothing but potholes, basically.
No, you're going down there any time during the winter after it rains, after a few weeks, you'll get a different sense of it than when it's
not smooth. Oh, yeah.
So, okay. Well, I too appreciate the work you've done on this. And when I'm talking, Stephen, about the trash and whatnot and the runoff, I'm just thinking that some days, not that people are necessarily overly dirty or littering or something, when that wind starts to blow, it's going to put everything either in the north side or in the bay.
Right.
And so that's, and I understand with pavement, that won't necessarily speed up or whatnot, but there might be some more residuals that will run off quicker than dirt.
No, I understand.
Although it'll still be in the dirt, and in time it'll go in the bay.
Right.
With that, thank you very much. Would anybody like to say anything more besides, do we have any other public comment? Okay, here we have one more comment.
Good evening, board members. My name is Linda Merrill and Chair Makowetsky. I would like to ask you all if it would be possible to have a workshop where people could look at this plan and perhaps facilitate it in such a way that people would be able to give suggestions and maybe even prioritize some of the important points that these people have very graciously dedicated their time to. I want to also thank you all. Thank you all for doing this and coming up with a plan that we can all begin to work with. Is this plan available at the library or at Public Works office where we could view it?
The plan is, you know, online as part of Public Works Advisory Board package. I think once this moves on to the next step, incorporated into the North Waterfront Master Plan, that's when we begin the specific plan stages of it, and those workshops that you talked about will be part of that part of that process, and we'll have nice big maps that people can draw on, and
this goes to the Planning Commission to be included into the specific plan. That's the mechanism we're trying to work our way
first through. It needs to go through the master planning process, and then back to Planning Commission. But this is to incorporate it into that master plan, develop that master plan, get much more community involvement in it, and pick out the features that are desired, not desired, and then move forward with that to implementation.
Okay.
Also, I'd like to ask, when is your next meeting?
Our next meeting, Linda, is August 16th.
August 16th.
It's usually every even month, and I think it's the third Thursday.
Yep.
Is it not?
Okay. At 6 o'clock.
So. Okay. Thank you all very much for your time and
energy. No, thank you very much, Linda, for coming.
Yeah.
And for your comments. And so with that, I know that this is the third advisory board that this has come to, and so I guess we should, would anybody like to make a motion that we accept this and pass it on?
I'll go ahead and make the motion to accept this and pass it on with the statements that were given.
And I'll second it.
You come to our home office and sit down in front of the computers, and we can make changes, any changes that you want into the plan at any time.
Okay. Well, that's very gracious.
Just give us a call.
Well, wonderful. Thank you very much. That's very nice. And those of you listening and watching out in Morro Bay, this is a very significant offer. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. And with that, we're going to move on to our next item, which is street sweeping in Morro Bay. Review of street sweeping in the city of Morro Bay, contract and status. So, Rob, would you like to speak to this item? You can say no.
Let me look to see if there's anybody else here that would like to take this item. Actually, this was prepared by our maintenance superintendent, Michael Wilcox. I know a little bit about it, so I'm going to attempt to make my way through it and give this staff report. This is an item that is coming to you regarding our current street sweeping contract. It was basically forwarded to the Public Works Advisory Board from City Council to discuss this item. Street sweeping is contracted out in the city of Morro Bay. We pay a little over $57,000 a year to sweep all the streets in Morro Bay, some more than others. We do the commercial streets once a week, and then the residential streets once every 2 months is the goal, although I think it happens more often than once every 2 months as a street sweeper makes its way around town. This street sweeping is included in the city's stormwater permit as a best management practice, as it does reduce the amount of sediment that makes it into the bay. There are some issues that we've had with street sweeping, though, and that's especially in the residential neighborhoods, and especially those streets that are in poor condition without curb and gutter. The street sweeper has a tendency to want to sweep along the road edge and can pick up some of that shoulder backing or that dirt that's on the backside of the street and push that out into the street. Although with the newer street sweepers that they've started using, the vacuum sweeper, that's less than an issue. We're working with our contractor to get them to move further away from the edge where we don't have curb and gutter or a asphalt berm along that edge so that we're not tearing up the edge of the asphalt with that sweeper. Also, we've heard from residents that, you know, in those streets that are poor, in poor condition, even in the middle of the street, it can tend to disturb the pavement. But we do remove, in last permit year, 192 tons of sediment that would have otherwise run off into the bay or into the ocean. And, you know, it does allow us to meet our requirements that we've identified as measurable goals in our stormwater management plan. Basically, staff recommends that we continue the current street sweeping operations and that we work with our contractor to address the complaints and comments that we've heard from residents. And that concludes my staff report. And I'm going to try to answer any questions, although I may not have some of the detailed answers.
Well, it's always nice to put you on the hot seat. And now that we know that you're not going to know so much, Rob, we're going to do it more. So with that,
I'll go ahead and start. And it's a question just on the general. You brought it up about the edging of the streets, especially I think up in North Morro Bay, but I think it's all over town where there is no curb and gutter. When you're going to be going through with the pavement management plan, when those streets do get fixed, is there an intent to put curb and gutter or AC dike or some other kind of terminus to the edge of the road, or is it the intent just to kind of put a, you know, back with base and call it?
The plan as to date was to basically replace the shoulder backing and basically back that with base and not install any berm or AC dike.
I don't know why, but from a street sweeping standpoint, that seems a little like an accident waiting to happen, but that's my own personal view.
Causing more problems than it was.
Okay, because
solved.
They're working the edge and tearing up the edge.
The you know, some of the options that we've talked about in-house would be to perhaps reduce the we can change our the permit is kind of you write your own adventure, at least in this point in time with a stormwater permit.
Right.
So we have some latitude in what BMPs we use. The regional board would not look favorably on us eliminating street sweeping.
Oh, absolutely.
But especially in the commercial areas, commercial industrial areas. But where it's not effective, they're not opposed to modifications to that BMP, or best management practice.
Right, right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Richard, do you have anything you want to add to that? Bill, did you have anything?
I agree with the conclusion on page 2. I agree with the conclusion on page 2 of the report here.
Okay. All right. Well, Rob, you brought up exactly what I was going to ask, and I think, Stephen, you touched on it also. This contract costs us $57,000 a year, and part of the stormwater management plan, we need to have this in place. And so one thing that I wrote down, some of these things that it sounds like staff has already come up with, is there a way that we can sure the more commercial areas, the places that get a lot of use in town, that have better streets, so how can we What do we have to do to do that? Is that just a matter of administratively you calling the street sweeper and saying we'd like to cut off these roads and less than and go to a, I mean, semi-annual, less than a bi-monthly schedule?
I didn't write the contract, so I'm not sure of the details of the contractual issues. I believe, though, that generally we leave ourselves as the sovereign the power to do what we want to. So to reduce the quantities at any time, it would be a typical city contract that we have the authority to modify the quantities. We like to have in contractual issues. The person writing the contract tries to write it to their benefit, and we generally write the contract. So I would think that not having seen it, that we gave ourselves that latitude to adjust the terms of the contract.
Why would you want to go to a lesser on the residential side? Maybe I missed.
Well, here, let me. In terms of the point, I guess I'm making is because we have to have street sweeping as part of the stormwater management plan. It costs us $57,000 a year. However, in the long term, with the street sweeper perhaps doing more harm to more dilapidated streets.
Oh, I got
in the long term. Sure, we're paying $57,000 a year right now, but you know, later we will be talking about roads that cost much more. So my point is it possible that we can keep the schedule for the Embarcadero in downtown? Those roads are better maintained and newer anyway.
Gotcha.
They get the higher usage also. Then limit the more residential streets in South Marble Bay and North Marble Bay, because without those curbs and gutters and some of the more older streets that don't have that firm base, I know in North Marble Bay it's, you know, and it's not necessarily just a street sweeper by any means.
Right.
However, it is just one more thing worsening the roads. So maybe my recommendation is we could limit the schedule on more residential streets, and I think we've already talked about that. And in what case we can continue the city property and the Embarcadero in downtown, the more touristy or heavily traveled areas. So we would keep the city clean to the most part, save money on road maintenance in the long haul, and also perhaps save money in our yearly contract.
Well, good point. I didn't pick it up when you brought it up earlier.
Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, I have a comment. I noticed that this costs is $14,000, almost $15,000 a year less than our previous one, plus the amount of money that we save by them hauling it off, raises it almost up to $20,000. Could those funds be diverted into putting in curbings or different things to putting the edging on the streets?
Is this general fund money that's...
Yes, this is general fund money. So it's not money that's... the general fund typically uses all the funds available. So by this last year, when they saved the money, it didn't get put into a pot in the streets funds. It was absorbed into police, fire, parks, other street issues. So yes, we do have a savings. I think, you know, if we did
talk about this savings of money somehow, I know it's somewhat minimal in the grander scheme of things. However, it is money that we could put towards pavement management. So with that said, do we have any other comment from anybody
it's
on the board?
It's nice to know that we're getting something. It's nice to know that we're paying less for something than normally we pay much higher.
Yes.
Okay, with that, and I'm not so sure... The recommendation was the City Council is looking for a recommendation, correct, Ron?
Right.
You may want to make your recommendation as you discussed a motion to keep the frequency in the commercial areas, reduce the frequency in the residential areas, and to consider using that savings for roadway edge improvements.
Right.
So moved.
And so with that, let's see if we can. Stephen, Richard, would you guys like to go with this? To see
why
if
don't you go ahead, Richard?
Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to see us go ahead and try setting up a plan and making it land so that we would eventually put in the curbings.
And I forget what else you said, but it made...
Well, how about we make a recommendation to City Council that we administratively amend the street sweeping contract, and whatever savings we may incur to be used on future maintenance items?
Say yes. Edge improvement.
Yes.
Edge improvement.
Yeah. Because the AC dike is going to be the cheapest, quickest way to clean up the edge. Curb and gutter would be very tough on existing roads. Okay.
Is that a motion?
What, yes.
Well, Rob, you want to try and read me back what you have, and I'll try and... Oh, go ahead, Bill.
The conclusion here is staff recommendation at the end of the thing. And frankly, I think that's... I would make that motion if we're going to...
Well, I guess the point I think we're saying here is...
That's something you want to do different, I know.
Is it's... With the street sweeping is going on in terms of downtown and the Embarcadero, I'm fine with that. However, looking at it longitudinally, looking out some time, the street sweeping that's going on in the more residential parts of the city, given the poor state of the streets, I think, and I think we've talked that we do have consent here, is that maybe that's doing more harm than good, Bill. So instead of taking this conclusion and making the motion off the conclusion, we came up with a different motion.
Whatever. Although I think the $57,000, I'm surprised it's that little.
Yeah,
I am too.
Okay. Well, I think we're making a motion to keep with the services as they're presently set up. However, having the city see if they could go back and renegotiate the amount of frequency on the residential streets, and there could perhaps be a savings there. If there's no savings there, then...
It appears at this point we already have savings.
Yes.
And so I would go with Bill saying to continue street sweeping practices secured under contract. That would be my motion. And then monies that we save be put into a fund to take care of the other needs.
Okay. Do you want to try and get, Rob, did you get that, or do you want to go with what I had, or and that kind of?
I'd be happy to write down any motion that comes out of the board.
Okay.
But I'm not clear on what if there is a motion or what that motion is at this point.
My motion would be to continue current street sweeping practices secured by the city, and the savings that we make, which appears to be about $20,000. Be put aside to fix the whatever kind of thing you need on the side of the street.
I think we've got to stop here for a sec, because the $20,000, they've already realized that savings when they entered into this contract a few years ago. That'd be taking money back out of the general fund for that purpose. The only money that you could save now that could be used for that purpose would be if they modify the contract so that they're not doing the frequency as often. You kind of got to forget the $20,000 they already. Okay,
except
saved.
When you read this, it says they're saving roughly $20,000 on this year's contract over what they had in the past. So we are talking about $20,000.
That money was absorbed by the general fund.
It's gone.
It doesn't exist. For the purposes of street work.
So let me have a go at this again. And it is a relative, I mean, who knows, if we save another $10,000 or something, we can use that towards helping the streets out. Rob, did you get that?
Was there a second?
Yes, there was a second.
I seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And it's a unanimous vote. So with that said, that was the last item on new business. Future agenda items. Let me see. Rob, when do you think, I'm sorry to interrupt you writing so quickly there. When would you envision this Tide Street overlay coming to fruition? After Labor Day? And the reason I ask is looking forward in terms of agendizing the pavement management index at a future PWAP meeting. But I think it might be useful for it to coincide with that project.
As far as revisiting the pavement management plan, if we realize some better techniques, we would bring that back through city through PWAB and back to city council as directed by city council. The tide improvements, we're still negotiating that change order with the contractor. Actually, they have not even submitted a request for change order. We were anticipating that. So we're a little ways off from doing that. I would anticipate that it's going to be near Labor Day. I don't know if it's going to be before or after, but it'll be probably near the end of their contract period, which is July 23rd, or when they remobilize to do the commercial streets after Labor Day.
So maybe then I won't even bring up the revisiting that pavement management plan till we get that further on down the road.
Okay. I know we have to bring back some water issues. I think Mr. Wade is hoping to do those in August.
Okay. Did anybody else have any items that they would like to be put on the agenda for the August meeting?
Not I, no.
Seeing none, all right, then we will wait to see what city staff brings us with that. And with that, the adjournment of this version of the PWAB until August 16th. So thank you, folks, in Morro Bay, and we'll see you in August.
Thank you.
Pavement in this town is so far gone. Unfortunately, short of setting up assessment districts and going back and assessing each homeowner, it's a very tough thing to find. Well, the holes are the one thing you can get.
Right. Right. Five on Cedar.
Well, no.
Drive around.
Well,
I drive around. Where do they drive? Take a tour. Take the
pen
around
with
you.
It's hard for me because I live on Finding Way.
Well, you know, it's great that we have, you know, quick fixes, but like I said, it's like this.
They actually lay the asphalt thick because they expect the cars to roll.
It's
going to
take a while, yeah.
Beats it in. And I trust me, I know. I've got another home where it is, and it's on a dirt road for 3/4 of a mile, so I'm kind of used to
it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is nice.
Go drive.
Even bad pavement.
After tonight, go up to Panorama.
Oh, I lived on Panorama when I first moved here in 78.
Oh, yeah.
And it was ugly then.
Yeah. It looks like there's been landmines that have exploded in the middle of the road. I took her, Debbie.